Well, as promised, Colonel Bob McGinnis from the Pentagon. And Bob, I want to talk to you. I know that in your day job, you are involved in helping do strategic planning. And I would think, well, ask you that question in a moment, but I would think that Turkey is probably a major player throughout the entire Middle East and maybe even in the world today. Now, they had a national referendum this last Sunday. There was an effort by Tayyip Erdogan to gain absolute power. He only won with about 51.4% of the vote. Do you think he accomplished what he wanted, or will he go back to the polls again?
No, I think he has what he wants, Jimmy. They've been an ally for many, many years. Clearly, what's happening is very disconcerting. It appears as if he's trying to make himself a dictator, or you could argue, on the 100th anniversary of the Istanbul-based caliphate, its abolition, which is coming up in a couple of years, he may declare another caliphate, given what he's been doing here recently.
Well, you know, it is interesting. In 1917, they took down the Turkish Empire to a certain extent. The Brits did that, General Allenby, there in the Jezreel Valley in Israel. That became the end of a 400-year operation of the Ottoman Empire. It seems to me that's exactly what Tayyip Erdogan wants to reinstitute the Ottoman Empire.
Well, certainly given the outcome of the last few years, beginning with the coup, certainly the election this past weekend, if you look at it, Jimmy, you see very clearly that, as you pointed out, he won by a very slim margin, and of course there are all sorts of accusations that it was a fixed election, which I would not be surprised. They've really thrown out major changes to their constitution. It puts him in the catbird seat in terms of power. You know, no longer do you have a prime minister. He's in charge of the parliament, the judiciary, the budget, the military. You know, one defense magazine, and I'm quoting, said, "This is the most significant and transformative change in Eurasia, the Middle East, and parts of Africa since the collapse of the Soviet Union." Now, that's a bold statement, but with... You know, when you look at what's happened over the last couple of years, it would appear as if this man is setting himself up for something very significant and long-term.
You know, it seems that is absolutely the case, Bob. And if you look at Erdogan's history, started out as the mayor of Istanbul, the largest city in Turkey. He was taken out of that position by the military, who at that time were the custodians for keeping a secular Islamic state in place. Again, every time I say secular Islamic, that's an oxymoron to me. Don't understand it. But he then started a political party. They ran for parliament. They got the majority of the parliamentary seats that enabled them to change the constitution, ultimately became the prime minister. Then when he ran into term limits, ran for president, which was somewhat of a figurehead position, but he's made that a power base for all that he wants to do. And I understand that he wants to turn Turkey into a similar Islamic state or an Islamic republic like Iran is. Now, is that a viable possibility with where he is right now?
Well, certainly the indicators are there. You know, after all, in the referendum, he controlled the entire media. If you didn't cooperate, you went to jail. You know, the mosques were out in the street drumming up voters, and there was no official suppression of that type of basically illegal activity. And of course, his opponents, and there's plenty of reports on this, you know, were the media was boycotted. Many faced electricity outages. Some got beaten up. It widespread indications of violence and voter fraud throughout that country, according to some non-political observers of what's going on. And in fact, he's even distanced himself from, of course, as everybody knows, from fellow Islamist Gulen, who is, of course, held up in this country and has been threatened with extradition, but the U.S. has not been compliant. You know, the things that he is doing are pointing clearly in the direction of consolidation of power, the growing Islamist movement, and it may be that he's trying to rival next door Iran with regard to who's going to claim the strength throughout the Middle East, because clearly, you know, Saudi Arabia is on its heels for a variety of reasons. Iran is feeling its oats, given what Secretary Tillerson said the other day at the State Department accusing them, but they don't seem to be backing down. But Turkey is certainly stepping up, and really in a major way.
You know, this is politically the way we've been talking about the Turkey situation. You're a military man. You work at the Pentagon. What about militarily? I know that Turkey's a member of NATO. Is that going to stand, or are they going to get rid of him?
Well, that is a very serious issue. I think that given some of their actions in the last few years, and especially what's going on here, that there should be a demand by NATO, given the nature of the charter of NATO, that Turkey's NATO membership should be questioned, and they should prove whether or not they should continue that relationship. It's interesting, when we were trying to sell Patriot missiles to them, you know, they wanted to go with China. And we said, well, okay, you can go with China, but we're not going to let you link into our NATO systems. You know, they are trying to find a different route to more power geopolitically as well as militarily. I think the other thing is, and I'm very concerned about this, Jimmy, is that we have, of course, Incirlik Air Base there in the southwest corner next to Syria. And we, based upon various reports, store nuclear weapons there. If that's indeed the case, then we ought to relook at that facility, using it under any circumstances, much less storing strategic weapons. They've long been a good ally, but given Erdogan's suppression of military, the coup attempt, and a host of other things, they are very quickly, shrinking from that ally status and becoming almost to the point of being an adversary.
Bob, let's step back just a little bit, look at Turkey overall as it relates to the Middle East and, in fact, as it relates to the world. You're a man who plans strategy for our military operation. How important, how influential is really Turkey there in the Middle East, where it's stationed in a key part of that world that is going to, in Bible prophecy, be a major player? And, of course, he wants to be the Islamic, pan-Islamic leader. How important and influential is Turkey?
Well, if you look at the borders alone, Jimmy, to the south, of course, they have Syria and Lebanon. Of course, Israel south of there. They have Iraq. To the east, you have a border with Iran. You have Armenia, you have Georgia, and then, of course, the Black Sea. And then through the Isthmus, they connect to the Balkans. So it's a strategic landscape. They're surrounded by water. They have a lot of resources. They've had a robust economy. They have a cozy, though somewhat on-and-off relationship with the Russians and the Chinese and others. All indications, Jimmy, is that this country, under this leader, is turning far to the right in terms of conservatism, Islamist radicalism, suppression of freedoms of speech, freedoms of press, and so forth. A very, very troubling time ahead for the Turkish people.
Bob, I think you said it right. Tayyip Erdogan is in the catbird seat in that unique, influential piece of real estate there in the Middle East. Colonel Bob McGinnis from the Pentagon with a report on the political and military significance of this referendum that took place last Sunday in Turkey. We're going to have to keep watching what Tayyip Erdogan does do. And we'll do that, as we often can, with Bob McGinnis. Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.